From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, Dogs win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hey, welcome in. It's the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Mark and Ryan with you as March Madness is ongoing this week, at least as it relates to the conference tournaments. We are 5 days away from Georgia's spring football practice. At long last, the Bulldogs will be getting going for the spring, and UGA is on spring break this week. The students are all over the Southeast and maybe further than that. Ryan, where are your spring break go-to places? If you were, say, 21 years old, not however old you are now, are you heading to Hilton Head, to Destin, to St. Simons, the mountains? Where are you going?
That's a good question. You know, Panama City used to be a hot spot. I never went there, but, you know, they had Club La Vila and all that stuff. I think, though, I did head to St. Simons 1 year. That was fun. Kind of laid back, you know, not too big of a party atmosphere. Do people still go to Daytona? Is that a destination for kids these days?
Yeah, I believe Chase Elliott might go there. You know,
he's too busy snowboarding.
Yeah. What was the place you mentioned in Panama City?
Oh yeah, it was called Club La Vila. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that. What is it?
I never frequented the old La Vila, but it seemed like MTV used to come live from there. I know it was a kind of a nightclub, a party scene. I'm sure some of our listeners might have a story or two from Club La Vila down in Panama City, because, like I said, MTV used to post up there and have some raunchy type of broadcast.
Well, where I grew up, it was, you know, getaways to Ocean City, Maryland, to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and Bethany Beach. That was all the closest.
Did you get wild? Did you get wild there, Mark?
Virginia Beach. I don't know. Did I get wild? My memory's a little foggy. I can't really recall that.
That answers the question.
Hey, Georgia basketball is bounced from the SEC tournament Wednesday night against LSU in the vaunted 11-14 matchup. Ryan, I know you were glued to your set when tip-off was like at 9:25. Women's team, by the way, they're going to get their invite to the NCAA tournament Sunday, as projected as a 9 seed now, and they played well down the stretch, lost to LSU in the SEC tournament in Greenville. There won't be any invitations coming to the Georgia men's team. No NIT. They go 16-16 overall. You know, they went 6-12 in the SEC. Ryan, what do you make of this Georgia men's basketball season?
I mean, I think it was very disappointing down the stretch. You know, it looked like a bright first season for Mike White. But after a lot of good early on, I don't know where it went wrong. I still point back to that Terry Roberts injury as being kind of where the season turned south. And, I mean, we can look at this as a 10-win improvement, but I mean, it wasn't like there's a lot of quad one wins in that, you know. I mean, maybe Kentucky being the best win of the year for Georgia basketball. I think you can look at games like that and, you know, you think back to that Notre Dame game, even though they didn't have the best of seasons either, but as high marks and maybe things you can rally around. I feel like looking back at the season as a whole, it was good, but down the stretch was very disappointing.
Georgia lost 12 of their last 15 games and their last six games, which is tied for the second longest active losing streak in among Power Five.
And, you know, two of those losses against South Carolina the other day and LSU, the bottom right. Feeders is not good. Yeah.
Right. So I was saying six game losing streak, only team that has a longer current losing streak of Power Five conference teams, that would be Cal, coached by Mark Fox, who unfortunately, you know, if you're a fan of his or if you like him personally, he obviously had a measure of success at Georgia, getting the Bulldogs to the 2011 and 15 NCAA tournaments. They haven't been back since. He had a disastrous season at Cal, and I would imagine he will be out of a job there today.
Well, you know what? I didn't know until watching, I can't remember who they were playing, maybe Stanford a couple weeks ago. Apparently they lost like three starters before the season started, and that was like three of the guys they were going to depend on. And maybe he gets a slight break and can have one more season out there. I don't know.
I would be surprised, but there's a lot of well, it's kind of like Georgia basketball to a certain extent in that, it's not the most important thing for I think in general Cal athletics, obviously, what is very important. Why are we talking about Cal athletics on the show? All right, anyway, so you mentioned, they did have the 10 win improvement overall record, and then you went very nerdy with talking about quad one. Georgia went 1-7 in quad one, according to the NCAA net rankings, 3-4 in quad two. And then, as you mentioned, losing to South Carolina, losing to LSU, they went 3-5 in quad three. Now they avoided the really bad non-conference loss that Georgia had last season. But I asked Mike White this question before the SEC tournament. I'll ask you now. Who are the building blocks around for this program? Who can you say, all right, we're going to get ready for year two and we're going to lean on these guys to kind of get us to the next level?
Yeah, it doesn't look great, does it? I mean, you lose Terry Roberts at point guard.
Well, you might not lose Terry Roberts. Terry Roberts has a
Does he
year
have
of,
that one year that?
he has a year of eligibility remaining. Now, whether he will choose to use that year at Georgia, don't know.
I mean, that'd be big if he's a guy that can come back. You could definitely build around, Kerio, such a streaky guy. And it was great to get him back for this year after he jumped in the portal, if he hangs around. But yeah, you lose Braylon. I mean, is Abdul Rahim? I mean, he's a guy that's going to be gone.
No, he's not going either. He's got
See,
eligibility.
this is where I get so confused because of that COVID year. It's
All right,
hard
here we go. Here we
to
go.
keep
Here
up.
we go. Here we go. You'll have now these players can come back. It doesn't mean that they will. I thought it was interesting last night that Mike White brought Justin Hill and Jabri Abdur-Rahim to the post-game press conference. That indicates to me that these are the guys that he wants as kind of his leaders. And I think those are probably good examples of that. Kerry Oquendo, Terry Roberts, Juice Holt, Frank Anselm, and Matthew Alexander Moncrief are the other players with eligibility remaining. Jackson Edder also has eligibility, but he told me late in the season that he's not coming back to use that eligibility. He's not planning to play basketball anymore. They also add two top 100 players. If you can't look at the 247 Sports composite, that's 6'8" forward Dylan James, 6'5" forward Mary Jordan from Norcross. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing Jordan's first name correct, but interesting with Kerry Oquendo last night, played about a minute and a half in the second half
That was weird.
and was just riding the bench. And Mike White said that's because they were emphasizing you got to do your blockouts, and he wasn't doing that. And it was a huge emphasis at halftime. He said the guys that were in the game were playing well. We found some offensive continuity. We're much better defensively in the second half, so we said we're going to ride this group, and that was what it was.
Well, I think Georgia basketball, I mean, it's going to continue like every other program. You're kind of in a wait and see, right, with the transfer portal and all. So, I mean, does Mike White go out and grab a couple new guys? Does he try to just build a foundation that he can build up from, and you face the struggles next year, but get some new guys in? I mean, we mentioned last podcast, they had a top 100 guy this year from Texas, but then he bolted before the season even hit the halfway mark. So it's such a thin line, I feel like, for these coaches to try to build a program. But I guess with what you said, with what's coming back, I mean, assuming that Juice stays around and Kerio, if Roberts, I mean, it's hard to look into the future right now given the way that the portal works. So, but I think, he went out and found a couple good players on the portal this year. I think Hill really came on at the end of the year, and provided a spark when Roberts was out. So, there's some people to build around there. You just got to it's tough for coaches, and especially at Georgia with the way turnover has been lately. But hopefully Mike White can stabilize all that, and they can get some pieces in there they can build up from.
Two first-year head coaches in the SEC
are going to be taking their teams to the NCAA tournament, it seems like, and that is Dennis Gates at Missouri and probably Chris Jans at Mississippi State. They're projected as well. Missouri had a big improvement also. I think it was even more wins than Georgia in terms of what, you know, how much more they won this year. So you can make a quick turnaround on a roster, and you know, Mike White is not a passive participant in molding his roster. I mean, he's going to have frank conversations with players that he doesn't really think are a great mesh with for what he wants to do. And you'll see some change turnover. I mean, it's kind of been the standard operating procedure, right? For like four seasons or three, the last three seasons, this would be a fourth where the roster just flips a lot. So we'll see, but you know what? They're going to have to build this roster and recruit and bring in prospects with maybe not having a chance to show them Stegman Coliseum.
Yeah, that's tough.
Because there's, you know, it's a good thing there's no more home games this year, because Stegman is closed, at least it looks like, until the end of May. Now, you know, what they mostly spend their time with on a day-to-day basis is the annex, the practice facility right next door to Stegman. But I mean, how do you think that impacts things, and what should they do with Stegman, which had a piece of the roof, or I guess the ceiling, fall and force the movement of a gymnastics meet, two gymnastics meets. I think there's one this weekend as well. And then a bunch of graduations are now going to be moved out of Stegman.
It's definitely not a good look for Mike White. I mean, not for him, but for the program to try to recruit somebody, and, you know, you bring them there and you can't even show them the place to go play home games. I mean, I think I can't remember if we talked about this on the last podcast or if it was just me and you chatting, but I mean, you know, the Athens has that new arena coming to, you know, that can host hockey matches and concerts and everything else. And, you know, hey, that might be a situation where, and I'm just throwing this out there, speculating, you know, Georgia might want to take that route, use the Athens Coliseum if they can work out a deal, because Stegman is old. And as we've said before, you know, walking the hallways doesn't really inspire a young, talented basketball player to want to play in that Coliseum. And, you know, they can do facelifts all they want, but I think at the end of the day, it's a detriment to recruiting, and they gotta do something. And I mean, safety wise, you know, how do you find a palm sized piece of granite or concrete? I mean, just laying there, you know, is it a situation where it could have fallen during a game? I would imagine so, and hurt somebody. It's not a good look, and you know, you can't just sit there and hold your breath hoping that doesn't happen when there's. When it's happened, you know, in the past, I know it's not the first time that they found little chunks of the concrete had fallen, and they have to bring in, you know, concrete construction people and whatnot to look it over and make sure that it's safe for everybody. It's not looking good for the, what, 60, maybe 70-year-old arena. I guess it's like 60-something years old now, but.
Yeah, it's about 60.
About time to
look. I mean, are they going to pour the couple hundred million it might cost to build a new arena? I mean, it might be more than that. Even I don't know exactly.
I say that about the Athens arena that's coming in. Maybe
right,
that's the best,
right,
maybe
right,
that's
right,
the best
right,
alternative.
Yeah, but that thing's, what is it, like 7,500 or something? I mean, that's
Cheers.
Not gonna.
I mean,
well, that's not gonna be your permanent home. That'll be a.
Hey, I mean, I don't see why it can't be.
I think, I mean, what's the smallest venue in the SEC? That would definitely be the smallest by a wide margin, wouldn't it? I'm going to look that up now.
Yeah,
they're not going in that direction.
But is it, I mean, that's not, you don't turn to the basketball attendance as like a profit, I don't think. I mean, you know, you're making all your money on football and stuff like that. So
look,
to me, to just pack
I don't even know. I don't even know if they have the – like, I don't, it's one thing if you have the seats and a court, but like, you need more than that these days, you know, like, you know, they want to host events and you know,
you are hosting events at Stegman Coliseum.
Well, they're hosting gymnastics stuff. I mean,
right. I mean, I think both
regionals
should be
and stuff
there. I mean, yeah. To me, to have a crowd that's packed in there. I mean, even if it's kind of a farce that you have a packed house, that's, you know, maybe 2,000 less than what you might have at another place. I mean, if it's a brand new arena with new amenities and all types of stuff,
All right.
I think you'd have to look into it.
Let me see this. I'm looking for the attendance here from the SEC stats. Here we go.
Rupp Arena number one, 20,000.
All right. In terms of attendance, I don't know what the capacity. It doesn't really say the capacity. Ole Miss, their home average was 6,000 this year, but that's because they played really crappy basketball, right? So that place is bigger. Many of the attendance averages this year were under 10,000. Auburn, I guess. How big is Auburn's arena, though? That must be pretty small then.
Yeah, it's not big.
Auburn, Florida, Georgia was 8,244, they say. LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt. You look at Auburn's capacity, because that place probably sells out pretty much all the time, don't you think?
I would imagine. Yeah, especially since Bruce took over.
All right. Well, I mean, it's an issue. They need to get. Look, they're not gonna suddenly plan to spend that kind of money. I mean, if they want to build a new arena, it will be years away still. I think they'll do another fix and then, figure out what to do from there. But I mean, I think you could have a, a, it's it the Auburn Arena cost them $86 million, which is a lot less than you might think.
Yeah.
9,100 fans there. That might, that's a good size for Georgia basketball as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, what was the stag draw? 96, 98, somewhere in there?
Okay, that was built to 86 million, though, but when did that, like, construction costs have risen a good bit, right? So, I mean, Georgia's football operation center is 80 million, so that's almost the same price. But that you can't build that for that price today with what's going on with inflation and the cost of stuff. But hey, anyway, 2015 last NCAA tournament. When will they go again?
Like I said, I mean, to me, basketball is such a crapshoot these days. Look at Kennesaw State, right? I mean, they turned a 1-30 team into an NCAA tournament team. So, I mean, if you get the right pieces in there, who knows with the way the transfer portal is. I could say 3 years from now would be a good over-under under Mike White.
I kind of was, let's see.
But then again, it could be next year. I mean, who knows if you get some crazy portal transfer that, comes in and changes your program.
All right, let's flip it to basketball. I mean, not basketball, to football. Last we talked to you all, we were at least I was in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. And then we'll hit on spring practice before we get out of here. Daniel Jeremiah just came out with his top 50 prospects in the last hour. Four Bulldogs in his kind of first round area. Jalen Carter at number 5, Nolan Smith at 16, Broderick Jones at 19, Darnell Washington at 22, Kelee Ringo is at 40. Which kind of, piggybacks on I wrote earlier this week in the Bulldogs Extra newsletter. If you don't subscribe to that. I don't even know if you need to be a subscriber. You just need to sign up. You don't necessarily need to be a Banner Herald subscriber, I don't think. I don't know. I gave my take on whose stock was up, who was kind of holding steady, and who had dropped. And I thought Nolan Smith is a clear, obviously, riser. Very impressive workout. 4.39 second 40-yard dash, 41.5-inch vertical. Stetson Bennett, 4.67 40. But what's impressive to him was he made the throws that you need to see, showed good arm strength. And Mel Kiper is now talking about him as a fourth round range type guy. And then Darnell Washington, Ryan, did you see his one-handed catch?
That was very impressive. Kind of a twisty, turny, one-handed catch. You know what else was lighting Twitter afire was the fact that he could push a sled better than some other tight ends.
Broderick Jones, 6'5 and 3/8, weighs 311. Runs a 4.97 40, and he actually his height was taller than what Georgia listed him. They
I know, that's funny.
listed him at 6'4". What are they doing? Come on.
Hey, maybe he grew a inch and a half. Maybe the new Bones dining hall has got them
Oh
screwed
yeah,
up.
that's a good point. I put Robert Beal, Jagpal Lesnie, and Warren McClendon and Kyrus Jackson in the hold steady category. I was going to put Kelee Ringo maybe in the stock down category, but then I talked to someone who convinced me otherwise. I was probably wrong considering where Jeremiah dropped him down. Ringo ran very well, 4.36 40, but some of the reviews about his workout, the terms like stiff and not fluid were used.
Oh Lord, what about knee wiggle? Was that mentioned?
I did not see that. Did not see that.
You know, I think one of the ESPN mocks, I think it was McShay, might have had Nolan as high as 8 to the Falcons, I think I saw.
And I put Chris Smith, Kenny McIntosh in the stock down category, along with Jalen Carter, obviously because of his connection to the fatal car crash of Devon Willock and Chandler LaCroix. McIntosh ran a 4.6 240. I guess that's not really his thing. Just give him the ball in the open field, right? Throw him some passes.
Yeah, I think he did way more for himself on video this past year with stepping into the lead role. Had a really good year.
All right, let's now talk about Stetson from the standpoint of did you watch his press conference? I was there. It kind of, not kind of, he apologized for his public intoxication arrest, or at least he did to his family. And he said, look, I'm Stetson Bennett the fourth, and I got a name to live up to, meaning his father Stetson Bennett the third, and kind of embarrassed his family, he intimated. But it was pretty much the same Stetson. I mean, he was, some people who hadn't been around Stetson kind of saw that interview in person, even were there, and they weren't. They wanted to, I guess, see Stetson, maybe show a little more humility. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what does that come off as brash? Is that how you'd say he does sometimes? A little bit arrogant, a little bit cocky, which is understandable. But I've always said, as much as you get that from Stetson, you get a guy that really thinks, out his answers and gives you really thoughtful answers to whatever question you might have. So there's that. I mean, he's obviously an intelligent guy. He showed off his arm, hit several deep, deep balls right on the money. So I think, when you're talking about a guy that people listed as probably a free agent going into last year, he gets drafted fourth round like projected. I think that's all you can ask because, I mean, I think he's a guy that can get into a camp and you never know what could happen. We've seen it many times where somebody gets drafted much lower, aka Tom Brady, or whatever, that, lights it up with an NFL team and opens some eyes. So.
Hey, Georgia's Pro Day is Wednesday next week, and we'll see a lot of these same guys, back on the field. Some of them will, like Warren McClendon didn't do anything in Indy on the field, so he'll do the offensive line drills. I don't know if he's going to run the 40. He had that knee issue in December, and some of these guys, Jalen Carter obviously didn't do anything on the field. I assume that Kirby's going to let him go out there with the guys, and do his thing. And some guys will just stand on their 40 times, or many of them, I guess, will if they were happy with them. Hey, let's talk about the Bulldogs as spring practice rolls on. But before we do that, I want to make mention a couple stories on onlineathens.com for subscribers only. So sign on up if you want to read it. Hope you do, and support local journalism and our coverage of Georgia athletics. And Ron does a great job with the high schools about name, image, and likeness. Georgia's kind of gets into the deals that athletes have made, the companies they've made them with, how many are taking part, what kind of financial bump they've gotten without necessarily. We can't tell you that Stetson Bennett made $70,000 for working with Raising Cane's, or Matthew Bowling, who's got many different product endorsements. He made 20,000 and all the donuts you can eat from Dunkin'. I don't know about that either, but the Banner Herald went to court to get these documents because the University of Georgia Athletic Association said it was protected by FERPA, which is for student privacy. Usually relates to academic records, and so our contention, our lawyers rather, was that was not covered in this. Anyway, this was back in November of 2021, and there was a settlement out of court where they gave us some of what we asked for, and we didn't identify the information they gave us didn't identify athletes by name. So it's just more about Georgia athletes in general, and teams in general. So check it out, and it's online at onlineathens.com.
Yeah, there's some interesting nuggets in there to peruse and just see how, I guess, the athletic department is using this to benefit themselves, but definitely the athletes as well. So,
All right, let's talk about one other off-field item. Ra-Ra Thomas, the wide receiver that transferred from Mississippi State, his situation with his arrest from January is now kind of resolved. His felony charge for blocking the door of his dorm, not letting this young woman out when they had a confrontation, was dismissed, and he is now going into a diversion program on his misdemeanor charge of kind of a family violence, domestic violence type thing for the physical altercation they had, although he contends one thing, she contends another. In any event, he's going to be, it puts him in better shape to be able to play now that that's resolved. We'll see if Kirby Smart does anything in terms of any game suspension or not, or whatnot, but looking forward to seeing Dominique Lovett from Missouri and Ra-Ra Thomas from Georgia at spring practice. I mean, I don't know if we're going to, how much we're going to be able to actually see spring practice. Certainly we'll see G-Day. And I think wide receiver is an interesting position with A.D. Mitchell, now a Texas Longhorn.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest reason why he is a Texas Longhorn, maybe because of what Georgia brought in and Ra-Ra Thomas and the kid from Missouri.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think he's from Texas, and you know, he's got family situation there that I think he wants to be part of as well, but. We'll see. What else are you looking forward to seeing this spring? I mean, you know, Georgia, you know, we talked about Warren McClendon. We talked about, you know, Broderick Jones. So those guys will be moving on to the next level. Amarius Mims obviously comes back, but Ernest Green, who we heard really good reviews about in the spring, you know, probably gets the first shot at left tackle. But they come back with Cedric Van Pran. They come back with Xavier Truss and Tate Ratledge. You know, be interesting to see if Green, how he does coming off his kind of mostly inactivity last fall.
Right. I think we're in the same position kind of as last year. You've got a couple of defensive back positions, I think, that you got to take a look at, especially Keeley's position at that other corner. I think the quarterback battle, obviously, number one, you're going to watch that closely.
Wait, you're telling me there's a quarterback battle, huh?
I've heard that.
Did not know that.
It might be between three of them. From
Carson Beck, Brock Vandergriff.
And, of course, Gunnar Stockton
from Raven County. I guess his hometown is listed as, is it Tiger?
Tiger. No. Wasn't the tight end. That's with the 49ers. He was from Tiger as well. Charlie
Warner.
Yeah, Charlie Warner. Wasn't he from up that way?
So what's Kirby going to say? He's going to say this is a heated competition. And may the best man win. And look, you never expected they're going to announce a starting quarterback after G-Day, right? That's going to roll into August. But Carson Beck was clearly the guy that they turned to whenever Bennett was being pulled from the game because there was blowouts going on. Now, obviously, you know, Vandegrift's got a little different MO. He can do some stuff with his feet that probably Carson can't. And, you know, Gunner was praised on the scout team, you know. But
right. Another, you know, yeah, I mean, that's going to be, I mean, I think it's going to be hotly contested. But third thing I'm looking at this spring is running backs. Obviously, we talked about Kenny McIntosh leaving. Kendall Milton has always kind of had that injury bug. Is this a thing where Branson Robinson steps in there and takes on a larger load? You know, what can some of the other guys do, you know, that.
Yeah, I mean, Dejon Edwards. I mean, I think those guys.
I mean, I think I still see him as a number three back, right? But maybe
who?
Number
Edwards?
Two.
Who are you talking about?
Dejon.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're pretty much. I don't know if there's a clear bell cow. I mean, Milton's got the, you know, the most experience and the most kind of came in with the biggest reputation. I think they're all going to, you know, share the load. I think there's like 18 or so early enrollees. I'll be interested to see how some of these guys, you know, come in. Some of these inside backers, you got your Raylan Wilson out of Tallahassee. He was a five-star. Jonelle Aguero out of Massachusetts. Christopher Smith, I think it was, that mentioned his name as a guy that, you know, to watch for, has a chance to fight for playing time right away. Some guys flashed even in bowl practices. AJ Harris, I was this is a four-star cornerback, I think 41 on the 247 composite, excuse me, at the Rams Stadium out in Inglewood, I guess it was. Is that where it was? Yeah, I guess it was. We saw a little early action type of, or maybe it was at the Peach Bowl. I can't remember which of the two. One of the two, I filmed video from practice, and they weren't really doing too much. They were doing a little bit of football stuff. It wasn't just the yoga stuff. And I didn't even know it, but AJ Harris, he's the one that flashed, and some people on Twitter were like, "Hey, that's Harris," and look at him, showing the ability to get in the outside and make a tackle really quickly. So we'll see him. Pierce Spurlin is a tight end that will kind of join, Oscar Delp with Darnell Washington gone,
Yeah.
along with a Lawson Lucky. And then you mentioned the running backs. I mean, Roderick Robinson is a guy that can maybe get in the picture out of San Diego. So be interesting. Looking forward to spring practice. Ryan, before we get out of here, make one quick mention. Not much baseball that we're talking about with SEC not having started, but Charlie Condon. Have you heard about that guy?
Yeah, well, any player of the week this week?
Not about player of the week, but he now leads all of college baseball with, I think it's 29 RBIs. He's got six homers.
Yeah.
He's really raking it, and he redshirted last year. And Scott Strickland told me before the season this was a dude to watch. So see if
Hey.
that can keep going. But that's got to be a big bonus for Georgia if they can get that guy to rake it like he has so far this year.
Right. Well, offense hadn't been a problem so far for Georgia baseball. They got to get their pitching on track. I think they beat Southern 17-11 last night or something along those lines. So, but a big weekend, wins over Tech, 2 out of 3. So, Tech was ranked at the time. That was a good weekend for Georgia baseball. One thing I'll also have my eye on this weekend, Mark, as you know, the Players Championship. I was noticing today that they had paired up several Bulldogs. I know Keith Mitchell and Watkinsville's own Brendan Todd were together. I saw Kevin Kisner on there. It seemed like Russell Henley, Brian Harmon were paired up together. So, a lot of
Now
chances for a Bulldog to win the Players' Championship this week.
they like to consider themselves the fifth major, but unlike the majors, the LIV golfers are not there, right? They're not
That
playing.
is correct because it is the PGA Players' Championship.
Yeah, it's not quite the major, but it is a good field. What are you watching it on, like streaming or something?
Yeah, I got what do they call it, PGA Tour Live through ESPN Plus, which is quite good. I enjoy. I think it's pays for itself.
All right, we will. Oh, cost money. Oh, ESPN Plus does. Yeah. All right, we'll get back with you next week. We'll talk Georgia spring practice underway, and looking forward to it. Everyone have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next time.
See y'all. Thanks for listening to the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Like what you hear? Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating, a like, and even leave us a comment to let us know how we're doing. As always, find more content at onlineathens.com and in the Athens Banner Herald.